All righty, here we go. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw, get an image of this now, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Lord, I thank you for Pentecost. Lord, I thank you for the power that comes in our lives, that we might be transformed, that you indeed hung on the cross to give us new life, to lead us out of darkness into light, that we could be agents of change, that we might be transformed in our very existence, Lord, to live to glorify you. And I pray on this day of Pentecost, as the church was born over 2,000 years ago, Lord, that you would guide and direct us this morning. In Jesus' name. Everyone said?
Amen,
amen, amen, amen. Well, my wife is gone. And so JJ and I, back at the soundboard, have been enjoying man food. Man food. And so I was talking to JJ. In fact, I gotta find some man food up here. Oh, there we go. The other day I got this stew meat, you know, beef for stew. You know the good stuff, ladies, right? You know what I'm talking about. And so me, in my culinary mastery, I kind of trimmed it and chopped it. Well, I chopped it into chunks about as big as a big old marble, you know, and dredged it. Yes, thank you, ladies. Dredged it, I know that word. Dredged it in flour, and then I think I braised it. I know I browned it in oil. Now, maybe they call that braising, but anyway, I browned it in oil, and I'm thinking, okay, I got my salt going, and JJ and I are going to have this Mexican food, so I put in a big pot and put some seasoning on there and some oil and stuff and put it in the oven and let it just start cooking and cooking and cooking. And so 3 hours went by. I'd come back and done all this stuff, and I put a fork in that, and it's like, oh yeah, it's man food. That's what it is. And so I drop off JJ and drop off Danny right here across the street, and JJ and I go up to university. And if you don't know, there is a flour all they make is flour tortillas. Right there, right off of 37th Street, just take a right next to the flour store. We go in there and we get the premium flour tortillas. Oh, yeah. We're going to have us some man food. Oh, yeah. And so we get home, you know, and we got some refried beans and we got our cheese out. And I pull out that pot of just gloriously cooked food. And JJ goes, ooh. What's that? And I'm like, what do you mean, what's that, man? This is man food. Look, this is gloriousness. I said, try that thing. And he does one of these things. I'll just pretend like this is the meat. He goes, oh, I don't like it. I said, okay, you don't have to have it. So we're cooking up the tortillas, you know, and oh yeah, cooking them up and heating up the beans with the sour cream and put the cheese on. And then JJ goes, oh yeah. And he walks over to the table, and he pulls out Slim Jims. And I've got the pot of magnificent manliness sitting there, and he packs open one of these things, and he takes the whole pack and pours it right on, doesn't even heat it, right on that tortilla. And I'm like, really? I've been working for hours on this man stuff. And he said, I'm just going to go my own way. And so we come to Pentecost. God's been working up something special for us. And we come to the opportunity. And sometimes you say, nah, I think I'll just go my own way, God. We miss out on what God has for us. The title of the message today is The Power of Pentecost. We're in a series called Purchased for Power that is focused on the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. We're going to talk about Pentecost, but in this series, talk about selected to serve, talk about Jesus' service on the cross for us. We talk about selected to soar, that as we come out of darkness into light, that we are transformed by the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen? And I am reminded by the words of Paul as he writes to the church in Ephesus. He says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined. That means God picked you before the foundation of the world. You're not in this place by mistake today. Amen? God gives you an opportunity that we have been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. That's a packed sentence there, folks. In order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might live for the praise of the glory of Jesus.
Amen.
We come to Pentecost, and there is power that is available from heaven for us to glorify Jesus with our lives. Presence and power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. God calls us out of darkness into the light that we can bring glory to Jesus. And I'm wondering if that is you today. Are you here to bring glory to Jesus? We look today at the words of Jesus. We'll take a look more depth, but I want to just kind of lay the foundation for Pentecost. The words of Jesus, on one occasion, while he, Jesus, was eating with them, Jesus gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem. What if Jesus was in this room and says, don't leave City Heights. Don't leave this room. Says to his apostles, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. It wasn't this. My Father promised a present for you, which you have heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So they stay in Jerusalem. Number of believers is about 120 in all. And their lives were transformed on Pentecost. These believers' lives were transformed by the power of heaven. Pentecost is a scary thing. Pentecost freaks a lot of people out. A lot of people just say, oh no, this is good. I'm fine. Freaks people out because people really don't want to be transformed in their lives. How about you? What are you looking for today? Are you ready to let God totally reprioritize and reorganize your life? Are you thinking maybe, hold on. I might use a little fixing here and there. But now let's not get out of control here, Pastor Bob. And that's the issue, is who's really in control. Title of the message, Power of Pentecost. Are you interested?
Yes.
All right, praise the Lord. Promise of power. We're going to spend all our time in the book of Acts today. Acts chapter 1, I'm going to read it again for you. It just says it's so good. While Jesus was eating them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Power is part of the plan. God has a plan for you. You have been chosen from the foundation of the earth to participate. If you say yes, you can say no. There's Slim Jims all over the place. Natty's got cases of Slim Jims downstairs. You can come and get them. All kinds of Slim Jims all around. But you grab on to the power of, or to the plan of God, and Jesus says, I don't want you working the plan without the power. Roki talked about being the go-to guy. This man, being the go-to guy can weigh you down. And Jesus says, yeah, I'm the go-to guy. And as you come and follow me, you will be the go-to person, man or woman. And I want you to be able to carry that load, and I will empower you to be able to be transformed in your life. Don't leave Jerusalem. This is too important. He had just risen. He had just ascended to heaven. He says, don't leave. Wait for the promise. And you can say, what promise is he talking about? I don't remember a promise. Well, the promise was made 600 years earlier. Prophet Joel, chapter 2, 28 and 29. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Sound a little radical? Anybody? Whoa! I don't really know if I want to sign up for all that. I mean, I heard George is cooking lunch today. I'm just looking for a little lunch. You know, get a little air conditioning. But you're talking about a completely transformed life. Yeah, that's what Jesus is talking about. And that's what God has been talking about for the whole time he's been talking. 600 years. He says, afterward. After what? Well, Joel prophesied in the time Babylonians were on their way. The Babylonians were going to come and destroy Jerusalem. The people of God had fallen into idolatry, and the judgment of God was coming, and they were going to go into the what is called the Babylonian captivity. That they would be taken in chains or killed, and they would be judged. Babylonians are coming. Jerusalem is to be destroyed, and the people of God, 586 BC, go into captivity. God was not done. People of God would return to rebuild Jerusalem, and God would rebuild the people of Jerusalem. Amen? Amen? He talks about that in from prophet Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 24. I will take you out of the nations. That's where they were going. I will take you out of the nations. I am going to rescue you out of your captivity. And he says, and bring you back to your own land. I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Sound like a transformation? Yeah. Sounds like a brand new creation in Christ? Is that what you're here for today? Or are we just playing around? Because there's so many people that are saying, I don't know. Slim Jim's looking pretty good. We got a bunch of these. They're everywhere. But you can't get God's plan just anywhere. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. We talked last week about a new spirit. John chapter 20, verse 22. Jesus is talking to his disciples after he's raised from the dead. And he's speaking with them in Jerusalem, and he breathes on them. John 20, 22. And with that, he breathed on them, and he said, receive the Holy Spirit, and they received the Holy Spirit. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus. He says, when you believe that you are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. We talked about that last week. But as Jesus is talking in Acts chapter 1, he is being ready to be taken up to heaven. It is after they have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. It is after he has breathed on them. He is talking to apostles who have received the Holy Spirit, and he said, there is something more. Read John 20, 22. You see the timeline. He says, wait right here. Don't leave until you get this thing that the Holy Spirit will do. He says, it's good that I leave, because when I leave, the Father's going to send the Holy Spirit to you. You tracking with me? And he says, I'm getting ready to go. Don't leave this place, because the Holy Spirit is going to baptize you. And that is what we're studying about today, because these apostles were baptized in the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Amen. Are you tracking with me? Floor, you asked about the difference between baptism or Baptist and us. This is the big difference right here. Power, part of the plan. Acts chapter 8, he says, the power is for proclamation. 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. On Pentecost, when they saw flames of fire and the Holy Spirit came upon them. Acts 1:8. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. See, there's a purpose for the power. There's power that's in the plan, and that power is for proclamation. Jesus describes what he's looking for, and what he is looking for is a witness. The disciples would receive this baptism to declare the message of the kingdom of God. They would get a new, brand new purpose in their life. Their priorities would be reorganized. The purpose that Jesus speaks is echoed in Joel 600 years earlier. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Have you heard that before? It is in reference to what Joel is talking about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Can I get a witness there? And he says, for on Mount Zion, that is in Jerusalem, and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. And so Joel is saying God's going to do this thing, and as he does this thing, there's going to be a proclamation that goes out. Does that sound good? How much proclaiming are you doing this week? How much work are you doing? See, the Lord is looking to get out the kingdom of God. The message of the kingdom. He wants to see that spread. God is looking for people who will surrender their lives to bring glory to his Son. And I'm wondering if that's you this morning. When I was a new believer, I'd hear about Pentecost and baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm saying, you know, I'm just fine. And I began to have a hunger and a thirst to be God's man, to do God's work. And I began to hear about this stuff, and I said, God, if this is from you, this is what I'm looking for. I want to be all that you have me to be. I don't want to live on Slim Jim. I don't want to go my way. I want to go your way, and what you have for me, that is what I want. Are you tracking with me? Jesus is looking for those who would spread his message. We have a list of those people around this place. He talks about them in the book of Romans. How then can they call? Talking about the lost. How can they call on the one that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How's your feet looking this morning? I'm serious. I want to show you some great feet today. Paul and Ann Simpson, come on up here. Ann's going, am I going to have to take off my shoes? No, so we can see how good your feet look just by looking at you guys. These two celebrated their 33rd wedding anniversary yesterday. Amen? When did you go to the Azores? Before or after you got married?
After.
How long?
3 years.
3 years. Paul started preaching. Were you preaching before then?
I
the rescue mission and other places.
Yeah, but nothing official or formal.
30 years, Paul been preaching the gospel. 30 years, Ann is standing right at his side. You know what? I don't even have to ask them to take their shoes off because I know they got some nice feet. In 2 weeks, like a little under 2 weeks, Ann is going to be credentialed by the Assemblies of God, recognized by her service and her study. And I just want to anoint her with oil. In fact, preacher, I'm going to ask you to anoint her with oil. And as he does that, I'm going to ask you to just extend your hands. And we are just going to pray an anointing upon Ann and recognition for what the Lord is doing in her life. Lord Jesus, I thank you for Ann. I thank you for the call on her life. I thank you for the preparation that has gone for years before she arrived and that has come to a point of recognition and continues on, Lord, as she studies on to study and show herself approved by you. I pray just your holding and your keeping power upon each of these and them together, Lord, that they would go into another 30 years of ministry and 33 years of marriage. In Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. They'll show you their feet later if you want to ask them. Amen. All righty. We're good, right? We good? All right, here we go. The presence. So we got the promise of power and we got the presence of power. We go to Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4, which is what I read to open with, but I will read it to you again. The day of Pentecost came and they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The day of promise, the day of Pentecost, a 600-year wait from the prophecy of Joel. They were looking for that promise. Jesus said, don't leave Jerusalem, and they didn't leave Jerusalem. There was 120 believers, and they gathered together. Acts chapter 1, verse 14, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. They were focused. They were waiting in anticipation of the promise and the power that Jesus had talked about. They were waiting for it. And when that promise arrives, they could tell. They spoke in other tongues. They were baptized in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22, Paul tells us that speaking in tongues is a sign for the unbeliever. We turn back a few verses, chapter 14, verse 18, and Paul says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. This is a challenging supernatural event in the life of natural people that moves us into the edge of the kingdom of God. On the day of Pentecost, the church grows from 120 believers to 3,000. That's power for a witness. Can I get a witness on that? Man, the message went out and people were transformed. And it's not just Peter preaching, we're going to talk about that in just a moment, but it's also the Holy Spirit pulling people in, drawing people into the Son, convicting of sin, guiding into truth. Amen? You track with me on that? So it's a supernatural thing. As the church grew, the baptism of the Holy Spirit moved right along. When the church moved out to Samaria, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the believers in Jerusalem, the apostles said, man, there's all these believers in Samaria, and they haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit yet. And they send out John, they send out Peter, and they pray for him, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes. The gospel moves to the Gentiles, to Cornelius' house in Acts chapter 10. And God speaks to Cornelius, and God speaks to Peter, and sends a basically kind of an Old Testament kind of message that says, Peter, I'm pouring out my Spirit over here. And he goes and he preaches, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes, and they speak in tongues. Last week, we took a look as the gospel moves to Ephesus and begins to move over into Europe. And Paul goes, and the first question out of his mouth is, did you guys receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? We didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. And he teaches them, and he lays hands on them, and they get baptized in the Holy Spirit. We speak in tongues. So the church grows, the baptism of the Holy Spirit grows. Goes right alongside. It's a gift of transformation. So many of us don't want to be transformed. We just want to be fixed. Just fix me up, God. Which are you today? What are you looking for today? It's Pentecost. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still baptizing. Amen? Amen. All right, let's keep going. Let's see. Can I get some help, Terry or somebody right here for June? Thank you very much. All right, a witness for the Lord. This is, all right. Action goes on. Peter begins to preach. This is the end of the sermon. You can read the message. You read all of Acts chapter 2 after church today. You'll be blessed. So at the end, he says, therefore, all Israel be assured of this. God made this Jesus, obviously preaching about Jesus. God made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Power for a witness. Amen? People come running, all right? It's Pentecost. It's in Jerusalem. Jerusalem swells to 3 times the normal population during the time of the feast because everybody comes from all over the place because they're come for the feast time. And you got to be obedient to the Lord. You had to come to one of the major feasts each year, and this was one of them. So Jerusalem is overwhelmed with pilgrims. It's a day of Pentecost, the day of the feast, and there's a sound of a blowing of a mighty wind. And today, maybe we wouldn't notice it so much because you got, you know, thumping cars going by. I mean, around here, we got tractors running all week. It's very loud. They didn't have any motors back then. They didn't have any stereos back then. It was a lot quieter. And so this sound, like a mighty wind, goes blowing through Jerusalem, and the people come running. And they show up, and here's these believers, up to 120 of them, speaking in tongues. And they laugh, and they say, these guys are drunk. And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, says, no, no, no. These men are not drunk, as you suppose, but this is the promise. Joel 2:28. He starts to preach, and he talks about Jesus. He talks about King David. In Luke chapter 24, Jesus describes the Old Testament scriptures and how they point to him. And so Peter preaches this message, and he's preaching to Jews that have come from all over the known world to come back to the temple for Pentecost, and they know the Old Testament, and they are very familiar with King David. And he says, King David is talking right here in the Old Testament about Jesus. And he starts talking about what Jesus did. And he starts talking about what Jesus performed, the miracles, the healings, all that stuff. Talked about the message that Jesus had. And he said, it's this Jesus that you rejected. It's this Jesus that you crucified. And they said, what shall we do? Peter says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. I do not know what you have done in your life to offend God or to reject Jesus' death on the cross. But this morning, the Holy Spirit could be speaking to your heart and saying, you are not right There is a distance, there is a chasm between you and I. And perhaps in your heart you are saying, what can I do? Well, the message that Peter had on the day of Pentecost is the message that I have in 2016 on the day of Pentecost. Repent in the name of Jesus, and you can be saved. Amen. I just want to pause for a second. Lord, I come before you and I thank you for your death on Calvary. I come against the attack of the enemy that would bring confusion to a simple message that you hung on the cross, that I can be transformed in my life, and all the heinous sins that I committed in my life were forgiven because of your blood on the cross, and that every sin in this room has been paid for by your blood. But there's an application that needs to be made this morning, and if you have not applied the blood of Jesus to your account, you can say, Lord, that's what I want to do, Lord. I want to repent. That means you're going to turn away from your wickedness. Lord, I want to be transformed in my entire existence. I want to put a focus on you, Lord. Lord, I'll live my life to glorify you. Nobody looking around. That's you this morning. Jesus hung on a cross for you. Holy Spirit right now saying, this is for you. You are in danger. Pentecost 2016, I'd just like to have you slide your hand up. Say, that's me. I want to be forgiven this morning. Back here, somebody else would say, yeah, that's me right here. Somebody else say, right over here, here, here. Everybody else say, that's me. I got to come to the Lord right here. Praise the Lord. Here, right there. Praise the Lord. You're freaking out right now. Holy Spirit saying, it's you, it's you, it's you. I know because I did that. Sitting in a service. I'm going, no way, no way. And the Holy Spirit said, this is you. And the pastor said, one more minute, I'll wait. Didn't put your hand up earlier, but the Lord is just on you like a coat. You say, Lord, I want to repent. I want to be saved. Just slide your hand up. Didn't put it up earlier. Anybody? Right here, right here. That's what I did. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to pray at the end.
The Lord God is here today. The Holy Spirit is descending upon each and every one of you. Take the word that my pastor here has spoken to you. Accept what is being given to you. All you need to do is to ask. For I, the Lord, will bless you and comfort you and save you this day. Lord, I just thank you for your presence, my presence, Lord. Just be with my people in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen. Amen. That is what you call an utterance in tongues and an interpretation. Speaks in a language that is sometimes known on the day of Pentecost. The languages were known because these believers came from Egypt and from Babylon, from all over the place. And they said, man, I know that language. But Paul calls it the language of angels. And he says that in a service, if somebody brings an utterance in tongues, that it should be interpreted. And sometimes, Brother Roki in the past was great at not bringing an utterance. But sometimes you might feel, man, I know what he's saying. I know exactly what he's saying. He interpreted his own thing. It says that if nobody brings an interpretation, the person who speaks in tongues should bring that interpretation. But I'm just going to ask, did anybody know what he was saying when he was, before he brought that interpretation? Because that's a gift. It's a spiritual gift. We're going to talk about that next week. Anybody tripped out a little bit about what happened? You know, it's for unbelievers. Oh, yeah. Danielle back there saying, I'm tripping. You know what? There's a whole lot of stuff that goes on in the kingdom of God that'll trip you out. Because you know what? He's an infant God. He's bigger than our minds. Right. But Paul does say, tongues is a witness and a testimony to the unbeliever. We're going to time this, okay? It's kind of going off the reservation. I remember I was sitting in a church, and I was freaking out about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it was funny because I started going to all these different churches. And every church I went to, man, they're speaking in tongues. I'm freaking out. What's going on here? And so the pastor, it was a large church, it was a black church, and the guy or lady did exactly that. And the pastor said, "You got any questions about that? Come and talk to me." I'm coming. So I went and talked to him in his office and made an appointment with his secretary or whatever, and it was during that week. And I sat down, I said, how can I be sure that that's real? And he said, "That's not your job." He said, "That's my job. I'll pay attention to what's going on. What you need to pay attention to is whether or not God is speaking to you through that message." And I'm like, "Whoa, okay." And it was about 2 months. I was coming through this rebellion, and I finally just understood, "Okay, Lord, I got this. This is real. All right." I said, "Lord, this is from you. I want it." And I pursued the baptism of the Holy Spirit for about 2 months. And the guy came to our church, had that ministry of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I received the Spirit. And now it makes complete sense. But I'm telling you, it was a great struggle for me for about 6 months. So, Danny, you're doing just fine. But don't go to any other churches. I'll be bad. All right. Okay. All right. If you got a question about that. Oh, all right. Can I have 2 more minutes? All good? There was this guy, Leland, in my Bible college, and he would do exactly what Mario just did. So one day, he brings out an utterance of tongues, and he brings an interpretation, and I go to him. It's we have chapel at like second period, and there's a break right after. I said, Leland, I got to ask you about this. I said, "Tell me about this," because the utterance, well, anyway, just I said, "Tell me about that." He said, "Well, I knew what the Lord wanted me to say between first and second period. I knew what he wanted me to say." And so I told him, I said, "Lord, you give me the opening in the service, and I'll say it. And if he doesn't give me the opening," because it's supposed to be in order, right? And I'm in the middle of, if you notice, I paused. You know, I'm going to second to third point, and he jumped up at that point. He says, "I know that if the Lord doesn't open the window for me, it's not from him. So I can totally relax." But I've also talked to guys who do that, and it freaks them out too. Like, whoa! So we'll talk about more about that gift next week. Now you got to come back. Amen?
Amen.
All right, here we go. Okay, purpose of power. John and Peter are arrested. There we go. Oops. Back. Oop, back. Got it. Okay, John and Peter are arrested. Indeed, all right, let me set this up. The apostles are Jews. It's kind of a trippy thing. They're saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they still go to the temple during the time of sacrifice. Woo! Animal sacrifice here, right? I mean, animals, killing, everything. And so they're going in, and they preach in the temple. And they are, in the beginning of Acts chapter 3, they're coming in, they go to this gate. In fact, I'll show you. Come on, you don't want the picture. They go to the gate beautiful, which is this gate right here. And there's this lame dude that begs every day. And they're looking for money. And they say, "Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, take up your mat and walk." And bam, he is healed. Yeah. Right? Now, I told you that day after day, the apostles preach in the temple. Where they preach is Solomon's colonnade or Solomon's porch, which is this area right here, which is like a big patio. You can kind of see it up here. It's all covered. And so they would preach, and they were Jews, and they preached to Jews, and they preached about the Messiah. So it wasn't like they were Christians per se. They were more like Messianic Jews, right? And they're preaching right in the temple. And so right in the temple, realize they had just killed Jesus. And so right across from where they're having church, And right across where, you know, 5,000 men, maybe 15,000 believers, they're coming in and they're preaching here. And here is this dude, healed. Bam! And he's jumping around and giving glory to God. And they are preaching. And the number grows from 3,000 to 5,000 men. 5,000 men, maybe 15,000 men, women, and children. Amen? All right. So then, let's go back. So because of this, they get arrested. The Sanhedrin arrest them. The very same people that arrested Jesus and crucified him, they arrest John and Peter. And they grill them and they put them on trial and they say, indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and your will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through your name. All right? Now, let me go. After they're arrested, come on, machine. Come on, machine. There we go. After they're arrested, before this happens, because what I just read is what happens after they get out of jail. But they're in jail, and the Sanhedrin say, but to Peter and say, you can no longer preach in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And they are in a quandary because they have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. They are moving in the power of God. Their lives are now focused on the kingdom of God. These are the guys who arrested and crucified Jesus. And they tell them after they are told not to preach in the name of Jesus, Peter and John reply, which is right in God's eyes? To listen to you or to listen to him? Talking about God. He says, you be the judges. As for us, because these are the priests. The priests of the Jews are telling them, you cannot preach in the name of Jesus. And they're saying, we got to listen to God before we listen to you. And he says, you be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard. And they say, you guys keep on preaching. We will whip you. We will beat you. 39 lashes they will give with a cat of nine tails, with bone and metal and all that stuff. And basically whip you about to death. And they are released and they go to the house of believers and they tell them all that is going on. And those men who had cowered behind locked doors after Jesus was crucified, no more cower behind locked doors, because they go and they have a meeting in this house. And they say, Lord, enable us to be bold for you. Give us great boldness that we can declare your name and your plan. And I think that there is something that is missing in the church today, because we have no boldness. Because we cower in political correctness. And they tell us that we can't have prayer in school. We can't have Jesus' name in school. This little girl right here, Nancy. I can't even say her name in Yitzhi, I think, or something like that. Sitting right here. She's like 10 years old. She was given a D on a paper right across the street. Because she used the name of Jesus. And her teacher gave her this failing grade and said, you can't do that. And she said, why can't I use the name of Jesus? And she took it up on the line. Her parents aren't even believers. And that teacher was sanctioned or corrected? Reprimanded. And she was given an A on that paper. I am telling you, man. There's more boldness from a 10-year-old little girl than we find from churches today. Our culture falls in the toilet because the church has no boldness. There are people around you that fall, their lives are falling apart, and you got a message from the cross. And there is no boldness. They're not hiding behind locked doors. They say, God, oh God, come and meet us in this place. Stretch out your hand to heal. Stretch out your hand to do mighty, miraculous healings and wonders, Lord, that this mountain we move to the next. Help us, Lord. People are ready for more. It says, now, Lord, consider their threats. Enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal. perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. An earthquake. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God boldly. Transformed in the purpose of their lives. Their priorities transformed because of the supernatural power of God. Our churches are not shaken. We are not shaken. The people cry out and say, Lord, the opposition is huge and massive. Empower us, Lord, to be huge and massive. Empower us, Lord, to overcome this opposition, not so that we can relax and kick back and won't have to sweat it, but, Lord, so that we can bring you glory. Amen. So you live to glorify God. All of a sudden, your priorities move on the back burner. And you say, Lord, I got great opposition. Lord, I need power from you. He says, you're going to glorify my son. You got no problem with power. Notice their position. Empower your servants. Word there is doulos. It means slaves. Slaves of Christ. I don't really think the church today is looking to be slaves. I don't think the church today is really looking to be sold out for the Lord. You know what? I think the church today is looking for a Lord that is radically sold out for them. Lord, I'm good with this. Hook me up, Lord. I got cases of this stuff. The enemy will bring cases of this stuff, and the enemy will get you satisfied with Slim Jims. The Lord has so much more. He says, you're never going to glorify my son with Slim Jims. I have a seat for you at the feast of the Lamb. Going to take power to walk up. Today the church is just looking for a fixer. Lord, I got a little issue. Can you come and fix me up? And we get fixed up and we're on down the road. Thank you very much, Lord. I'll catch you later when I need to get fixed again. Lord, my life's out of control. Fix me up. And Jesus said, it's finished. My work is done. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You're going to be the fixers. You will be agents of transformation. Day of Pentecost. How about you? You want to be fixed? Or do you want to be transformed? You've come to the right place. Dave, you want to come up and play me a little something? Sorry, I moved all your stuff around. Come to the right place today because Jesus is a healer.
That's right.
Jesus is a Savior. The Bible tells us that Jesus is right here in this room. Two or three are gathered. I'm right there with you. You're looking for a healer. You're looking for a Savior. Jesus is looking for something too. Jesus is looking for witnesses. You're going to be my witnesses. Be a witness for Christ takes a transformed life. See, it's bigger than me, God. I got so much crud going on in my life. I got so much drama going around me. I got teachers against me. I got politicians against us. I got everybody around me is against me, Lord. I can't do it. And he says, you're right. You can't, but I can. It takes a transformed life. New priorities. New purpose. You want that, I'll give you power. You go to heaven, but the baptism is for power. Baptism is for a witness. The baptism took 120 believers to 5,000 men and women 5,000 men, 15,000 men, women, and children in a short period of time. You want to be fixed, or do you want to be transformed? Because the enemy will tell you fixed is good. Day of Pentecost, 120 believers are transformed. They had been waiting for 10 days. They had been in prayer. They had lived in expectation for a promise that was 600 years old. This morning, Jesus is still baptizing. About 23 years ago, my life was transformed. Got new focus. Service like this, except there was 1,000 people there. Went forward and said, Lord, you can have my life. I said, Lord, send me anywhere. Just don't send me some boring, white, middle-class church. And the only white, boring, middle-class churches I've been to are to visit and preach about what God is doing among people that are hurting. I'm wondering this morning if you want to be an agent of change. If you are willing to be transformed, to say, God, I want to glorify your son. You might not have done it this week. You're saying, I'm going to do it next week. Lord, I want to live my life transformed. I want to put a focus on bringing you glory day by day by day. I'm going to overcome the obstacles. I don't care what the enemy puts in front of me, Lord. I'm trusting you for power from heaven. Power of the Holy Spirit. Power of transformation. My old, I consider as dung. And Lord, I grab onto new life in you. It is exciting to stand here and serve the Lord. Excited to have Ann and Paul come and be recognized. Excited to labor on alongside of so many of you that seek to glorify God. There is a promise of power in Pentecost. I invite you to be part of that. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. We're going to sing a couple of songs. I have oil that my wife left for me, anointing oil. And it's just, I don't even know what kind of oil it is. The blessed pure olive oil and fragrance. It is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And so as we sing, and you really want to be transformed, I'd like to have you just come up here. We're going to sing. What are we going to sing, Dave? Even so, come. I kind of like that. And so as we invite the Lord to come, I'm just going to ask you to stand. You want to be transformed? I want to pray with you. The way Peter and John went around praying for disciples and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want to pray with you. And it's a, this oil is nothing magic. But it would begin a process, maybe like the one that I went through 23 years ago. It took me a couple of months. But I tell you, I was hungry for God, and it's a challenge, but He'll empower you to overcome every challenge. Amen? Amen. So, we're going to sing, and I'm just going to pray for you, and we're going to expect that in the coming time, God will equip you to glorify His Son. Amen? Let's sing.